Welcome to the skating session. My name is Tony Wheeler.
And I'm Thomas Vu.
And we are done with day two of the team event. We saw the first of the free skates. We know who's qualified into that final five. We have one more day of competition. Again, if you haven't been following, we will be on a plane when this whole thing wraps up tomorrow. So do not expect a video very quickly summarizing the entire team event. But a lot of surprises today, just jumping right into it. The Alexei Bychenko of the event had to be Canada's Steven Gogolev in the
Yeah.
short program, which got Canada into the final. Both of us yesterday, if you watch our video yesterday, we had Canada and France tied in the end, and France would have won on a tiebreaker. What ended up resulting was that France got, or I'm sorry, Canada got in by 1 point, and it was so close that had Nika Agadze finished with 22 hundredths of a point lower than he did in the men's short program and finished behind Boyang Jun of China, then France would have been in. That's how close this competition
Yeah.
was to get into that finals. We knew it was going to be close. I mean, even if we got it wrong, we still had it within a point, and it ended up being a point in the other direction in favor of Canada. So good for them to get into the final.
Which is kind of nuts that like it was so close like that.
Yeah.
And now like with Canada being in, they have a really great shot at the bronze medal, which I don't think I saw coming before this played
Yeah.
out.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I really didn't expect that they were going to be in it. Gogolev has really impressed me.
Me
He's
too.
done this before where he skated a short program with two clean quads, but he's very hit or miss, or at least he has been most of the season. Going into nationals, it looks like it was going to be really close between him and Roman Sadovsky, and then Steven just ran away with it, and it looks like he's continuing that trend here, at least with the short program. So yeah, his placement alone, that third place that he ended up with in the men's short program, put Canada right in there for a chance for a medal, and that's really, really surprising to us. But let's go back to from the top, the men's short program. So our predictions, we both had Ilya Malinin running away with this for the short program, and then we both had Yuma Kageyama in second. Then our choices started to differ. We both had Junwon Cha pretty high up. He ended up in eighth, and I think in the end we both had him fourth, I think. A lot of the other placements, we both had Steven Gogolev way down there. I think I had him eighth, you had him seventh. That was the big surprise, as we mentioned already.
Yeah.
But otherwise, more or less the same. First, let's start with Yuma Kageyama. I don't think it gets any better than that. I will say,
So
actually,
good.
it does get better because the quad salchow, it always lands on this deep curve, and he usually gets into his knees a little bit better than he did here. And then I think the axel could have been a little bit better as well. So just minimal points that he could have gotten in GOE that he did not receive here. It was not even a season's best here. But one thing I was impressed with, I said, I think this is a 47 plus, or it better be a 47 plus PCS short program. And it ended up being like 47.5 or something. The judges went for 9.5 pretty much across the board, or at least that's what it averaged to. That's more or less where he should be all the time. I don't know why the Olympics, it takes to get to the Olympics for them to throw out these scores for him. But yeah, I this is not my style of short program. I would not say I would listen to this music, but he just makes this such a good program. It is
I
so
know.
good.
We feel like we've both been saying that like all year. Just like, it's not like a favorite program, but when he performs it and the way he performs it, he makes us enjoy it.
Yeah.
Even if I would never go back and listen to this music ever again.
Yeah.
And I was just so blown away. And you could tell them, I could see what you were talking about. Like that opening combination was amazing. So clean, so great. Probably his best combination all year. But then it felt like for the quad salchow that he's purposely slowing down a little more, not having as much speed going into it to probably have more control. Because I see what you're seeing too. There wasn't as much speed coming out. He didn't have to go as deep in his knees to control the landing. But other than that, it was really great. I still thought the triple axel was great. Love the spread eagle with the choreography right before it. It feels so integrated and natural. Oh, and just step sequence.
Yeah,
Always
of
a highlight
course.
and the way that like he's able to just sell it at the end too. And I feel like it's almost like it's building toward the step sequence. Whereas like most skaters, it's like it gets to the step sequence, you're like, okay, I'm kind of over this program, you know? So it's
Yeah.
just really awesome. And I'm with you, like even that 47 and a half, I remember you saying like, oh, 47 incoming or, you know, whatever, something like that. And I'm like, no, it should be more.
Yeah.
Some of this I would give even higher marks to. I think he only got 110 from the French judge for presentation. And
Yeah.
even then, I'm like, nope, give it higher composition than some of
I
these
would
judges gave
yeah.
too.
I would say if you're going to give a 10, give it for skating skills or give it for the composition of the program. The presentation, he's there, but I wouldn't say this is like a 10.0 for me. But yeah, I'm excited that the judges went for it. I hope that, regardless of the panel, they continue to reward him. Of course, mistakes aside, because that can affect the PCS, but when he's on, I truly think he's far and away the best skater. I don't think there's any
Same.
doubt that his quality of skating, the composition of what he puts into his programs is just top notch. Even if, maybe the free skate isn't hitting as well with me as it is for you or a lot of other people, you can't deny that he still has those foundations and he still has the strength behind the program. Ilya in second place. Now, in real time, before I looked at the protocol, because the Olympics website has a protocol which will show at least if there's an under rotation or a downgrade, they show as it's being marked in real time when they're reviewing it. I thought all of his jumping passes should have gotten a second look. I think they all looked
Same.
tight. I'm actually kind of surprised that it was just the Lutz that got called. The axel, interestingly, it was all twisted. I respect very much that entrance. I think it's one of the coolest things he's done in any program, but it was all twisted, it was all wound up on the landing, and I think he came away with like a 0.3 negative GOE, which to me is
Yeah.
just, I
Generous,
understand.
honestly.
Yeah, absolutely it was. It was
Yeah.
just way off. And I just everything I thought everything looked tight. Now, is this first Olympic skate nerves? I don't know. I think that every once in a while, those under rotations and those cue calls, if you will, do start to creep into his skating. I think he needed to get this out of the way. And now we know, because we waited a little bit to film this, that he is skating the free skate, which kind of throws everything into the US favor in a huge way. I mean, it's in their control now. It really is in their control. The gold medal is theirs to lose. Ilya is going to skate four programs in the Olympics. And he's not skating last, interestingly enough, because in the men's short program, Japan was in first place, Ilya skating before Shun Sato. Now, it being Shun Sato, Ilya does not have to do a tremendous
Yeah.
amount to still win the segment. And we said that, if he's in it, he doesn't have to do that much. He could probably get away with two quads, maybe three, and he will still win it. I'm just curious to see how he goes about this with the pressure. I don't think the pressure is really honestly going to be on him. I think by the time they get to the free skate, because it is the last event, I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of you have to really deliver or we're going to lose this. I think it's going to be he's going to shut the door on this and that's it. So I'll be really
Right.
curious to see how he approaches it, what kind of technical standard he wants to put out there. He's always pushing. He's always pushing to do the most, and I don't think he needs to do it here. I would say with the men's short coming shortly after, and this is really where his eyes should be. I don't think he's going to overdo it, and I wouldn't be surprised if we see another nationals kind of skate where it's a little bit watered down.
I wouldn't be surprised either, because even then, the most he has to lose is 1 point. Falling behind Shin Sato, it's not realistic that he's going to skate poorly enough to fall behind Italy, especially with Rizzo skating and Gogolev and Igatse, right?
Right.
So there isn't much to lose. It's much better losing one than us being in the US anyway, being in danger of losing 3, 4 points
Yeah.
with someone else coming in. So it's really seemed like a given, considering how close everything was, that Ilya had to be the person.
Yeah.
Just sorry, Ilya. You know, had to be
Yeah.
it. But you
Yeah.
know, in this skate, it felt like cautious to me from the beginning. And you know, there were all these reports of like him going to some practices and doing no jumps, him going to some practices and doing just triples. So I'm really wondering, like, maybe there's something else going on in the backdrop. But then we also saw that
No.
crazy video of the quad axel triple toe.
Yeah.
So you know, there's a lot of like
There's nothing, though. No, he
information
never.
soup going around. Yeah.
No. He never, in practices, he never ever goes out there and does all these crazy things.
Right.
Half the time, he uses the practice to just mark all his jumps and then he'll throw off some quads in the corner and that's it. I wouldn't, I would not suppose anything from what he did or did not do in practice. We saw at Nationals, he wasn't landing anything in the warm up to the free skate. And in the practice during the day, he didn't do anything. And then he goes and lands quads perfectly fine in the free skate when it matters. So I don't think any of that lead up or that preparation means anything in terms of what
Yeah, it's probably
he's
just
going to look
nerves, you
at.
know, most likely it being the first Olympics out there for him. And then just some of this too, I felt like he got bent into the doubt calls, like, you know, we've been talking about on the replay. That quad flip looked under to me. Quad Lutz definitely under live. I think he actually over rotated the triple axel,
He
but
did,
yeah, I don't understand where you find 0 GOE for that, considering how bad that landing was. There should have been the poor landing, the over rotation, just not being able to control it, no speed coming out of it. It's barely any justification for a zero
For any
GOE,
positive
which I
GOE to
just
hold
don't
it
find
up,
it at all, right? So it should have been negative one for sure,
At
if not
least,
negative two then some. Yeah. But you know, it doesn't matter. He still would have slotted the same place considering the skate. So we'll see what happens.
Next was Gogolev, as we
Yeah.
spoke about. This is the huge surprise. skating very early, and he held up and he delivered, and that put Canada right up in there for a chance at the medal. Not we've discussed it. Neither of us are a huge fan. We just don't really relate to what the skating is. I think the short program's tremendously better than what the free skate is, and I think it starts to bring out some kind of character in him. I just think it's not fully developed. I remember a few seasons ago, he was, I don't want to get it wrong, but I think he was second to last in the short program at Canadian Nationals, which is like 17th place. And then
Oh,
he
wow.
either won the free skate or he was second in the free skate. I don't remember. But he's always doing like one program really, really well, and the other program he would tank in a big way. And I feel like he finally has found some confidence and he has found some consistency when he most needs it. So good for him, and what a boost for Canada to get into that final, because I think a lot of people were not expecting. I know there are people in the comments. There are Canadians that are in the comments saying you should have paid more attention to them, you should have respected, blah, blah, blah. But I think on paper, it looked like they were going to be a really big outside shot at making the final. So for them to be in medal contention is really crazy. So great for him, great for his great skate for him. In the next position, we had Kevin Amos, and surprisingly, I mean, he kept it together more or less. The quad toe looked all right. He always has that kind of hooked, curled landing where it looks like it might be a little bit short. In the replay, it looked like it was clean to me. And then when he most needed it, he nailed that triple axel. That is his money jump, but this is probably one of the best triple axels he's ever done. He gave away points
Yeah.
in one of the spins, and when you look at how close it was, that could have also played a part. We're talking about what Igadze did to just barely hang on to his spot to get Georgia in the final, but also Kevin threw away points a little bit, and it could have been extremely close on that side of the coin as well. But I think for him, he needed this kind of skate. I think it was actually a good idea for France to get him out there in the short program, because we know how the short program has gone at Europeans like three times for him now, where he's not even qualified. So I think getting on Olympic ice and getting maybe the jitters out and having a semi-decent moment for himself was important.
Yeah, like it clean-ish, right? Is how I would describe this skate. And it was the point to where, like, if you're just adding up everything that he kind of like nickel and dimed himself, the bad landing on the quad, the combination could have been cleaner, the V on the last combination spin, he could make up that difference between himself and Gogolev. And that could also is France versus Canada
Making
in the
it.
final is just that too. So there are a lot of different things here too. I go back to Paris yesterday. And who would have saw that, Trent? And
I mean, that wasn't that surprising for them to finish fourth. We
yeah,
knew we
but
were.
they had to skate really well to do it, skate to a level to where like that they had to like basically meet the moment, and they did. So a lot of these Team Canada skaters came and met the moment, like, and it was really impressive. I'm glad they proved us wrong on that.
Very much so.
I love seeing great skating that proves us wrong.
Absolutely.
100%.
And then we had Daniel Grossel in fifth, and he did suffer at least one under rotation on the quad loop, which I thought was in real time. I said, this is the one that was most obvious to me. I don't know what they did with the Lutz in the end. It
They
looked a
didn't even
little
give a
short
cue,
to me.
no.
Yeah, it looked a little short to me. And of course, that's a pre-rotation jump for him because he twists himself in. Never been called. It's never going to. I don't think it was a complete disaster. I respect his skating a lot more than I think most people do. And I think that everything besides the jumps is actually okay. Like I don't mind his programs. I remember a lot of what he does in them, and I think his spins are very, very creative. Just for him, like I said, it's completely dependent on what the panel does with the jumps. Because as we saw with Ilya, jumping back to him, by under rotating that quad Lutz, he loses base value and he loses even more GOE. If they wouldn't have called it at all. So what does he do now? He probably would have been super close to Yuma in the points without them calling that. But because they called that, he's now 10 points behind Yuma. The difference in accurate calling in these quad jumps is massive, and it is going to be the difference in medals a lot of the time, and that's why I just want it consistent across the board, because when you do it one time and not the other, the points are so drastically different.
Right, and we've
It's
seen that in
just
events where Grouse will go out and they'll call some under rotations, but they're all cues as opposed to the actual full carrot under. And here, that full carrot under puts him fifth behind Amo, and so like just that gives Italy would have given Italy more of a buffer coming into like the final tomorrow. And who knows if they'll actually need it versus Canada, because even seeing the standings now, Georgia's a what 5 points behind Italy, and that's probably not something they can make up.
Nikki Igadze is in sixth, and just tight. I would say the same kind of thing Ilya had going on. He did not look as confident. He didn't really have the run out to his jumps. It looks like he didn't just get on top of his skates, if you will. Again, I think he's very improved. I think this program is quite good for him, at least what he's had comparatively in the past, and I see the effort that he's putting in. But a sixth place for Italy, or I'm sorry, for Georgia here, kind of puts them way behind. I said all year, and I will say this, I don't want people in the comments saying you were wrong. I'm telling you right now that I was the one who was saying all year that Georgia is in there for the bronze medal. I really was convinced they were going to run away with it. Now I'm like, I don't think there's really a chance to catch up. I don't There's three events left, and I don't see it swinging in their favor at all. That right there hurt them a little bit. I think he needed to be the Stephen Gogolev, basically, of the short program. He needed to have that kind of skate where he was like third place, I think, if they had any chance. And Boyang Jin was seventh. Junhuan Cha was in eighth. He had a really good program going, and then he popped that axle. So that's 8 points minimum
I
loss
know, I'm
plus.
like, Junhua, that was so like 3 years ago, you know? That is so 3 years ago, Junhua. I'm like, no. And then hopefully that's just like getting that mistake out of the way for the individual for him. It's not like Korea had a chance of making the final anyway, so it's just him going out there almost as like a practice. But it did affect a little bit the points for the other teams coming in, right? If he had skated clean, got that combination or got that axel in, that's like at least 10 points. He would have been third.
But even so, he's another one. He's just barely behind what Igadze was. So, you do a double axel or something, then France is in the final. I mean, there's a
Right,
lot of
or even
hypotheticals.
that, a double axel, right, gets France in the final.
But what I will say
Crazy.
about him is, at first, in the beginning of the season, I was like, okay, this program's very nice. We've seen this music over and over. I really, really like the program now. And the fact that his PCS, I think, was like, was it 42?
Junhuan is 41.75. Yeah, too low.
41.75. And then you look at some of the other skaters. I'm not going to name them because I don't want to be told I'm such a hater, but there's just no comparison between programs where they've kind of slotted these skaters in. For me, Junhuan moves so much more effortlessly. He gives so much more to the program. He's another one where the step sequence actually is a really big highlight. It flows with the music, the pacing, everything makes sense. So why they held him down so much just because of a
I don't
popped
really get it
axle, I
either.
mean, I
Don't
don't know.
understand at all. Like looking at some of this PCS, it's just kind of like unjustifiable to me. Presentation 7.75 from the Italian judge. I maybe know why the Italian judge is doing that, but no, not justifiable. Like this program is at least high eights to me. Some of these things should be nine, composition nine at least
I
for me
agree.
too. But the British judge gives a 7.75 in composition. No one goes higher than 8.5. Even skating skills, only one judge puts him in the nines, and that's the Canadian judge.
Yeah, I
So
don't
like
know.
it's really undermarked for me. Even just with the PCS being higher, like he should have been at least sixth, if not pushing for fifth. So again, it doesn't really matter right now, but it's going to matter in the individual, and it really might be really important in the individual, depending, you know.
And Vladimir Samoylov finishes in ninth for Poland. He had a great skate for him too. I will say he is one skater where his skating skills are so good. His stretch on the spins, his speed on the spins. His last spin, he does like this kind of Sasha Cohen-esque final position, and it traveled massively, but the position itself is so stretched and nice, and there's a lot to like about his skating, but I will say that I think the skating skills are much better than what the composition of the program is. I'll put it there. I think
I
that
agree
he's
with
a
that, but you
skater.
know, I also made this comment, which I still think stands, but you know, this is a better 90s program than most of the rhythm dances we've seen. You know, just that. It had like quirk, it had charm, it had a level of authenticity. The costume was like even great for it. Love the kind of like bowling-esque shirt he's gonna be going on. But you know, like I really enjoyed that too. I felt he was a little undermarked in some places here. Definitely thought he should have been higher. I would put him above Boyang, just given what Boyang put out there.
Agreed. And then I just want to make mention of Edward Appleby. He's here only in this event, and he skated. He did a triple double, but he did a good triple axel. I mean, it was there. He skated a clean program, and you could tell he was having the time of his life. We talk about these skaters that are just in the team event. And the skaters that got into the team event, aside from the Japanese ice dancers, you have a Polish ice dance team and you have Edward Appleby. This is it for them. They knew they weren't going to get into the free skate, so it's this one and done. They're happy to be at this event, and you can just tell that this was a big moment for them.
Yeah, no, and happy for them too. You know, they get to go to the Olympics. It's an experience that so many people dream of, and only so few people actually get to go. So it's really awesome for them. I don't even know how long they get to stay in the Olympic Village when
Yeah, I
their
don't know either.
competitions are over. But if you're allowed to stay the whole time, stay the whole time. You know what I mean? I'd be staying the whole time too, even if I'm done.
Then we move into the free dance. So, well, first of all, we should say this set the stage for who the final five were. And again, we've gone over who they were. And it was the USA and Japan, Italy, Canada, and Georgia who made it. And then by 1 point, France lost out on that. On the free skates. So immediately after this, the at least as far as ice dance goes, they had to nominate the teams who were going to skate in the free dance because this happened like 50 minutes after the men's short program finished. So our predictions, because we had France in it, aren't going to make any sense, but we did think that the USA would be first. We thought Italy would be second. We had France third, both of us. We had fourth, Georgia, and fifth, Japan. So slotting in Canada into that third spot, and we would have nailed that. That position. So we would have gotten that right. Chalk and Bates. So, you know, the comments from, I thought I was very nice actually in the rhythm dance. I said, I don't have a problem with Chalk and Bates winning. I don't like the French or Chalk and Bates rhythm dance. So there's really no opinion for me. I think that, you know, Guillaume's twizzles were a little bit tight and I don't really like the stop and go of the rhythm dance. So I pretty much thought I was saying I'm okay with Chalk and Bates, but then you read the comments underneath for our day one review, and it's like, oh, you obviously hate Chalk and Bates. You have nothing good to say. I can't watch your channel anymore. It's not what it is. We're just pointing out what the judges are doing with their scores and
Right, there's
maybe
a
other
difference.
things. Yeah, so going into their free dance, I've said it since the beginning of the season. This is by far my favorite free dance that they have skated this entire Olympic cycle. You have to go back to 2022 to find a program that I actually could say that I liked from them as far as free dances go. I do think it's expanding and it's getting a little bit more sharp. I still think the same problems are here. I've been saying all year that I think Evan looks very stiff. I've been saying use of upper body is not really there. It looks like he's a little bit in agony. And then after the fact of me saying this repeatedly, we find out in this Glitter and Gold show that he is really having some serious back problems. So it explains everything. It makes sense to me. It's very obvious. Even in the replay in this event, they showed in the replay in a super slow motion, they showed that choreographic slide movement that they do at the end of the program. And Madison's holding her dress and she's all like, ah, like giving face. And Evan looks in complete agony. He just looks like he's struggling. And that to me just kind of is the underlying, if you're going to look at their faces during the skate, which I don't do so much because I'm watching what their blades are doing, but that's kind of what they give off. And to me, it looks like he's just barely hanging on. There is a lot to like about this program though. I really like even that cheesy choreographic step that, you know, we're like, why did people do this? I like the little hops at the end. I like that. I actually really like it. It's
Yeah, no,
not
it is. It's good.
particularly
It's clever. It's
difficult.
nice too. Yeah.
The rotational lift is good, but yeah, as you noted, the transition out was quite sloppy. I think that the curve lift that they do in the beginning, I think they actually get into it a little bit better. I don't know what they did
I
at
agree.
the entry, but you know, I said one of the problems that I had with it and the reason why I don't think they'll get a plus five for it, and I was trying to help by saying this, is that it's that step up, and then put her arms up, like get into position. And I think it's still there a little bit, and I don't think that they're getting the plus five for it, but it's still it's a good element. It's just not, I think that's what's holding back from them getting those top marks.
I agree, because they have to transition into different positions for both lifts, and just by doing that, they're not interpreting the program at all, right? Whereas I just think back to like that combination they lift they did in the Alien program, right? Where it's this amazing straight line position right to the music, and they just quickly go down into the rotational. Way more effective when they did it in the team competition. It was clearly a plus five element. They in the individual they missed the timing of the position and everything. It's not as good. But here too, it still felt like that. It looked better though than it has all season. But the judges still weren't giving plus five across the board. And just comparing to like what we'll see in the individual, if they perform it like they did at Europeans, Fournier, Beaudry, and Sizeron are going to get plus fives from the entire panel. And they've probably had that happen multiple times this season or close to it. So just by that here, you're going to see some deficit. The rotational lift too, I was surprised that the judges marked it higher than the combination lift, to be honest with you, because of that sluggish exit. It just slowed down a lot in that rotation. They lost speed. It felt like they got stuck a little bit into the ice. But every other criticism I'm having is just the same one I've been giving all year about Twizzles and things like that. But the 1 foot turns did look better than they have all season. A little smoother, seemed like it covered more ice. Still not a fan of this step sequence at the end, though.
Yeah, the step
Really not.
sequence, I'm not too hot on it either. I don't think it's terrible. I like if we're gonna talk about just little nuances of the program, I think they do set themselves apart in the way that they carry themselves, and she really gives it some
She
attitude going
does.
straight into that, and I like that a lot. What I don't like, though, if we could just jump back to an earlier element, the Twizzles. We always talk about this, but the first set and the second set just do not move. And you cannot, this
I
is
know.
not a plus four element. You look at,
Nowhere
I mean,
close.
I don't know how this is fathomable. And now I peeked at the protocols and I see that it's plus four, and then there's a few plus threes sprinkled in there. So I think they're going more in the direction that they should, but it's still too high for what they put out there. Let's be very clear. They're finished. They're very like timed very well, but they're just not moving. They're rotating in place, and this is a huge issue when it comes to developing levels, and also when you look at the negative and positive features. If it stops rotating, it should be a double whammy on both of these things from the judges and the technical panel, but they don't. They did it one time, and I almost fell out of my seat that they stopped counting the levels because she stopped rotating, or at least that's what we assume brought down
Not
her
moving,
level.
yeah.
Yeah, but it doesn't it's the same every time. So why is this not being called
And
every
that
time?
first set literally ends at a stop. Like, they slow down so much that they stop any type of forward momentum. To me, her last rotation is completely at a standstill. I would have given her a level 3 just for that. And then just by virtue of slowing down like that so noticeably, it's a negative feature and they shouldn't be able to get plus 4. It immediately disqualifies it. We've said it all year. We've said it again and again. Judges just need to start paying attention to the rubric. That's very clear. But whatever.
Yeah, whatever. I
Dead
mean,
horse.
yeah, exactly. And I think I again, I like the program. I like the performance. I just
Yeah.
do I think they're the best in the world? I can keep
Oh.
going to this. No, and we're saying exactly where I think it should be chipped away at if we're looking head to head
Yeah.
with the other team that's going to be contending for gold, then this is what I'm getting
Yeah.
at. Um,
Well, one change too I did notice is that, like, Glitter and Gold goes a lot. They have like a whole storyline on skirt drama, like, oh,
yeah.
and skirt issues and worrying
Yeah.
about it and
Yeah.
going into Chalk and Bates and how they're so worried about it. They show in practice to where the skirt comes under his blade and they just
Yeah.
completely both fall.
Yeah.
And then in the actual competition, the Grand Prix final, a skirt issue gets Fournier, Baudry, and Scissor on and
Yeah.
causes their fall,
Yeah.
which, totally just tanks their chances of winning the Grand Prix final.
Yeah.
And then here you see that their correction is to have her now hold the skirt instead of him hold the skirt.
But he
And
she
to me,
also
I
added
hate
that
the look.
layer. She added the
Yeah.
extra layer, and I think it makes her line maybe look a little sloppy, if that makes sense. Her line isn't the greatest, but it just makes it look a little bit sloppier.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised, I should say, if between now and the free dance they maybe consider switching it up again, or maybe they have a second dress if they go back to the older one. I don't know. It was a little bit distracting, just in the sense
It
that.
was. And I usually don't comment on costumes at all, but here I
Right.
could see that because, before it had this great flow feeling when he was
Yeah.
holding it in one
Yeah.
spot and everything else flowed. Now they're bunching it up, pulling it up, and she's holding it. And it's just this really thick fabric that's now come running through. It just doesn't look great in the element, even if the element itself is still so good because it's the same choreo slide from the Alien program, which I loved then, still love now.
Yeah. Let's move on from them. I'm just reiterating, I have said so many good things. It's just the Twizzles, and it's the ice coverage, and it's the overall speed, and the lack of really using his entire body, and that's what it comes down to
Yeah,
for
we
me.
just want the rules to be followed and for judges to judge properly and the chips fall where they fall. That's it.
Guignard and Fabry finished second here. I've liked this program since the start of the season. I just think that the thing, okay, so the thing for me, I feel like they're such good technicians, aside from him all of a sudden just not having Twizzles anymore. And even that first set of Twizzles are just so basic, and it's like he needs that to get through it. And even then, I said, even at the end of the step sequence when they do this, the Twizzles, it even looks rough there. Like he's up on his toe. It's just like not clean. I don't know what has happened to that, but they used to be, I don't remember ever thinking anything about of their Twizzles before this. But I will go back to what I keep saying about them. I just don't think that the choreography really lends itself to matching the elements. I
I
respect
agree.
that they are doing a lot, They do a lot into some of their lifts. They do a lot into their basic elements, and it should be rewarded as far as like intricacy, but it makes it look a little sloppy sometimes because there's just so much going on. I remember one of the lifts, I'm like, there's just too much. There's too much going on. It doesn't have relevance really to the music, and it just makes it look sloppy. And I think that they are just purists in a way, and they're trying to do a little bit too much that makes it. Again, if we're going to go back to a situation like the curve lift for Chalk and Bates, I think that they're just holding themselves down from getting the biggest marks. They're getting now +2 or +3 instead of the +5 that they could probably get if they just worked on, I don't want to say manipulating the system, but working it in their favor like they probably could.
Right. I'm just like, read the criteria, you know, and again, the musical relevance of these elements and adding to the overall theme in the story literally can make or break GOE, whether you're getting just max +3 or whether you're now pushing up into +5. And that's the whole theme of this whole program to me. Even the Twizzles, though, you know, just going back to those, it really feels like now they're going in slower with less speed, less attack, so they can manage and control it, you know, and just you can see that they're sacrificing it here. +3 across the board from the judges, which, you know, justifiable to me, justifiable. Even then, going on to the 1 foot turns, it's a really great element, but it has no relevance to the music to me. So they're just kind of skating with the music in the background, and that's now a negative GOE bullet, maxes at +3, right? Like, and there's a lot of moments like this throughout the program. And then the one really great highlight they have is that curve lift right on the music. She's so expansive, right up there. But it felt like it just came out of nowhere. There was no build up, so the program didn't build to this climactic moment, right? And then out of it, it felt like, oh, and now it's one great moment and blip, but then it went back to just being level, nothing. Like, the beginning to end of this doesn't make sense to me. It's just a bunch of elements strung together.
Yeah, I
To
feel
have
the
this
same
one
way.
great highlight, and then, okay, now here's some choreographic elements that were really just more or less
They're thrown away. They are thrown away
thrown away.
completely. La joie and Naga, we see them in the free dance. Some people are questioning, well, that one point that they potentially lost, but by not putting Gillis and Poirier in the free dance, is this going to come back to haunt them as far as the medals go? It's
We'll
to
see.
be seen, you know. But they had, I don't think they had planned on having such a good skate in the men's short program that they were really in it for medals. So I'm sure with the 50 minutes they had, well, they only had like 10 minutes actually to name the team for the free dance. And then 50 minutes later, they're actually skating. So, you know, LaJoie and Laga had been relying on this. If they get into the free dance, they're going to do it. Again, it's White Crow. They had this program previously. I'm a huge fan of the team. I think that if we're looking at, they're kind of taking over for me what Guignard and Fabri were for a long time because they're just so foundationally strong, and I don't think they're getting the respect that they should. But much like Guignard and Fabri, I think that, and you'll get into this probably a lot more than me, but I think that they have another issue of maybe not the placement and also just not emphasizing and hitting everything enough to get those top marks. But I will say, the Twizzles, this is insane to me, looking at the GOE that they get for their Twizzles. They're really struggling to get above a +3. And this is, if you do a side by side, I think any random person off the street would say these are the better ones than Chalk and Bates. And this is where the issue comes for me. Like, they flow, they're intricate in and out, in between the Twizzles. It's difficult. Just everything about them, why are they holding them down on the Twizzles? And this is where it just makes me think a lot of these elements are just judged by reputation, and this is a way to chip away at the teams that aren't at the absolute top. Because for me, I do not understand where a negative feature would be, but there's just so many positive features. Why are you giving a +3? Like, really, where is your justification for a +3? And if it's a +4, then because the only way you can get a +4, and we've said this before, but this is the math nerds in us, but the only way you can get a +4 is if you have 7 to 8 positive features and you have no negative features. You literally, this is the only way. You have to have 7 to 8 positive features. Exactly. This is the only way that you could get a +4. So where is it that they're not getting more positive features? I would love to hear why they're not getting top marks on this element. Really, I don't understand.
Yeah, same. You know, because when you think about the technicians in the field right now, this is them. They're probably some of the fastest out there, really deep edges, great control and everything. When they perform elements well, they perform them well. And so I agree with you on the Twizzle criticism in terms of like how the judges are judging them should be higher. Definitely should have been higher than Chalk and Bates for sure. I would put higher than, and they were higher than Gwinar and Fabry, but probably should have got the best Twizzle score in this
Easily.
phase of the event. Like, and I don't know
Easily.
why they didn't, other than like what you're saying is judges are just still judging on reputation and they need to start getting to judging on the criteria. But the only other highlight for me though in this program, because I know this is something we disagree on, I actually really don't like this program at all. The only other highlight is that curve lift, that change of position is so creative, and he's in that
Yeah,
spread eagle
so
position. She goes
good.
from high to low. But even then, like, it doesn't feel relevant to the program or the music. It's just, oh, here it is. We're done. We did it. Moving on. And that's what this whole program feels like to me. It's just a series of great elements that are somewhat to the music, but when the whole package is considered, it doesn't add up to anything to me. Like, nothing. And so it's nice. It's very nice. But I think about a team that's like breaking through this season, right? Like Zingas and Kolesnik. Maybe don't have as high quality of elements, but the overall package is so much better, vastly better. Everything builds towards this huge moment and this climax into this choreographic step, and then bump, and you just, oh, like you want it to keep going on and lasting forever. This, I'm just like, okay, polite clap.
Yeah, I
These are
mean,
some great
listen,
elements.
they
I just
had
want
a.
a better material for them. They're so much deserving of better material because they're so good.
I don't know exactly what happened. I don't have insight into it, but they did have a different free dance at the beginning of the year, and I think it was not well received, maybe by Skate Canada, or maybe they weren't feeling it themselves. So then maybe they got into this, I don't want to say panic mode, but they went to something familiar because this is an old program. And maybe they're just above that level now.
They
Maybe they
are.
need
I
to
think so.
branch out, I hope that last year at Worlds they kind of sunk in the standings a little bit. Now it was very close between like fifth and ninth or whatever it ended up being. All those teams were, it wasn't like it was a drastic difference between those results, but I hope that it didn't stall their progress to now where they should have been the ones jumping up onto the podium after all these top teams retire. I hope that they're not completely passed by other young and up and coming teams like Zingas and Kolesnik, because it should have been their time a long time ago. They should have been fighting for the podium. If we're looking at Gilles Poirier, I would say they would even be pushing. I said this for a long time. I was one of the few people, I promise I could pull the receipts, where I was saying they're better than Fournier Baudry and Sorensen when they were competing as second in Canada. And I said, if I'm being honest, I think they should be even pushing Gilles and Poirier. And everyone's like, you're crazy. You're crazy. But if you look at the foundations and what they are good at, they are clearly the best Canadian team, I would say, all around. That's maybe a controversial statement, but I think that they are, from a technical standpoint, especially in a skating skills standpoint, you might not love their programs, you might get bored with the construction of it, but they are really one of the best teams in the world. And I hope that they have fresh material next year that really makes them stand out. Maybe they need to really delve into some kind of identity. But I think that they have the goods to be up at the top of the podium, to be
Yeah, because
honest.
I
I
still don't think
really.
White Crow is them. It's really just not them. It's nice music, and that's it. And it allows you to just kind of vaguely skate to it. And this is what they're doing. It almost feels like what you would give like a junior team who's really trying to focus on technique instead of like a senior team that's trying to build this whole overall package. And that's again, packaging in Ice Dance matters so much because it's in the bullets, like for the elements. Yeah.
Davis and Smolkin finish here in fourth. And again, I think this is, would I say this is my favorite free dance of the year? No, it would be the Browns, but this is way up there. This is really, really
Really nice.
way up there. Just so much improvement from her as a team. Just so, I think everything is choreographed so well. Such good highlight moments. We've raved and raved and raved about Fournier Baudry and Cizeron and this curve lift that they do. But then I have to give credit to Gleb here because he does this shoot the duck position and he's holding her up, like just basically holding the core strength to just have her completely stretched out on this. It's insanely good. This is
I know, yeah.
insanely good.
And it's
I mean,
so
this
smooth.
will.
His edge is so stable all the way through. And when he lifts the leg to get on one leg for that feature too, it's like it's so stable. Like just I don't it's really nice. Yeah. And I
Plus
agree with you on the
five, it
program.
should be. I mean, and only one judge gave a plus five. A lot of them are at the plus three. Again, I'm thinking this is the way you chip away at these scores so that there can be a difference. But this to me is a major, major highlight move. I like a lot of the stuff that they do. I think this program was a little bit tentative. They started out a little
Was
bit
nervy.
shaky. Yeah.
Like there
And
are a
it,
lot of moments like that, like where they
yeah.
just you could tell like the elements were actually good. It was actually, you know, for the most part, it was all the in-betweens and the transitions, the transitions between the elements. The thing I noticed first was like out of those 1 foot turns, it was like a little sloppy. Then all of a sudden he ran into her while she's doing a twizzle and he's trying to like skate around her and it's like, oh, ugh. And they have another moment at the end of the step sequence where he just slips a little bit and you can see that too. So nerves are there. But you know, it didn't really matter. They placed exactly where they should have placed and were going to place if everyone skated well. So they did their job.
I think it's interesting the PCS. I mean, you had four of the nine judges putting them ahead of LeJoie and
Yeah.
Laga, and that might be just on a composition and presentation. You know, like they might be feeling the same thing as you as far as this is kind of more of an identity or of a branching out of something. As far as
I think this program fits them really well. Yeah.
me too, and it's surprising. You know, it's not. Last year it was
Right, because at
like
the last Olympics, they have the most in-your-face free dance that you could possibly have to Moulin Rouge, you
Moulin
know?
Rouge,
And now here they have something understated, subtle, it's elegant. I much prefer this kind of like style for them.
It's one of these programs for me that just goes by so quickly, and it's one of them that I have to stop. I love when I have to stop and remember, this is an element, this is an element, this is an element, because to me it just flows to the music pretty well. Of course it was shaky today, so then you start to think like, okay, this is actually competition. But
Right, but
when
just to
it's
emphasize what you're saying, that opening hydro blade movement, you know, where it just starts, they're showing her leg extension, he's holding it, and then it switches to his own extension during the hydro blade. It's beautiful. Just a beautiful element. And again, you forget it's an element until the score block pops up and you're like, oh, they got points for that. Okay. You know? Yeah. Really great.
Rounding out the field, Yoshida Morita, they went back to their old free dance because Thomas trashed Turando so much that they ran away from it immediately. It was one of the worst choreographed setup programs he's ever seen. I
They'll
think he
stand
said
by
this,
that.
right? Didn't you say that though? Like the layout of it was the worst construction.
Terrible. Off. Sorry, I'm going back to that space. But yeah, no, it was so bad. And none of the elements made any sense to music. They had to rotate. I go back again, you know, like, should have been dumped. Like, immediately, glad they did. Because this was like, even if I don't like the free dance all that much, it's way more enjoyable. Have some like cool moments, even if they're cheesy.
Of course they're slacking and they're way behind the rest of the teams here, but these are all top 10 teams in the world, or pushing at the top 10, and you have Yoshida Morita who are not even qualified to the individual competition. So obviously fifth place was w where they were going to be. I think they're very exciting. I think they have potential. Kathy Reed does such good work, I think, in general, that I think that they will have a good future with more time. I like the dynamic approach they do to everything. They really don't have a lot of fear. They bomb into everything, and that's something that we see these younger skaters. We saw it with the Czech teams. They would bomb into all this stuff, and then as they get older, they start to slow it down just a little to try to control everything. But I like that kind of on the edge
Me
quality where you
too.
don't know if they're going to spin out of something or whatever. But I like that, and it's so rare. So I think with the right packaging for them as well, this is an old program that they went back to. But I think if they can find something that really can show off that speed and that dynamic quality that they have without it being out of control, I think that they can really move up quickly as well. I
Yeah.
enjoyed them.
Because
I enjoyed
it
them
paid
on
off in
tape.
that first element. Those 1 foot turns to me were great. I thought the judges undermarked it. I'm seeing like a one here in
One,
GOE, and I don't understand how you only give those 1 foot turns a one. Maybe their extension and their, you know, unison isn't as great as some of the top teams, but the speed, the depth of edge, like I really enjoyed it. They probably covered the most ice out of everyone in this event in the 1 foot turns. But as it went on, everything got a little sloppier. The transitions got really rough. Like that stationary lift was really rough to me too. Even the choreographic step was, they have this dance lift in it and it felt so stop and start at the beginning and at the end. And then they're back into the choreography, the choreographic step. Right. So, and even that slide at the end, I was like, the Spanish judge gives it a zero GOE, and I'm more toward the zero than the three the British judge gives it. Just because it slowed down, it felt like sluggish, almost like they were not ice, but they were through mud, you know? But other than that, you know, they placed exactly where they were going to
Of
place.
course,
Team Japan got their 6 points. So.
And I mean they knew they were going to have that deficit. They knew most likely once Chalk and Bates said that they were doing both programs, that it was going to be a
Yeah.
separation of 10 to 6 for Japan. So they knew full well that that was going to happen there. I just want to go back really quickly before we end dance. The 1 foot step that the Georgians do, it's not that both got level 2 call on it, and they didn't really get high GOE because it was shaky, but I love the pattern of it. I think they show such unique kind of nuances to it. It's something, it's choreography that we really have never seen. I think it's interesting, and it's something that I love stuff like that, where you can take something that everybody has to do and you can make it look like a really standout element. Whether it's perform well, whether they hit an edge or not, I'm not talking about that because they could get a base level for all I care, but it's just the way that they construct the element. I love it. I love the choreography of it so much. So that was another. There's so many standout movements in that program to me. I'm blown away by them. I'm a huge fan. All right, so we are wrapped up with the two events that we saw today. It was a pretty quick day, but again, we know the final five, and now we know the first segment of the final five. So tomorrow we have the pairs free skate, the women's free skate, and the men's free skate. And what does this mean? I need to pull up the spreadsheet so we can now
Yeah,
completely
let's
change
see what we
our.
think is going to happen tomorrow.
All right, so we're back with this beautiful, classy spreadsheet that I made on day one, and we've had to switch it so many times with updated results and things that we didn't think were going to happen. But one thing I did do here is I just put the options that we have for the pairs, the women and the
Oh,
men,
okay.
because we know who the fields are. So again, going into the free skates, this is the actual scores as of right now. USA has 34 points, Japan has 33 points, Italy has 28, Canada has 27, and Georgia has 25 points. And all right, so we're starting with the pairs free skate. We know Pereira and Michaud have to do double duty because we still don't know Deanna Stolato Dudek's condition, if she's going to skate in an individual event or not. Metelkina Burilava, Conti Mazzi are surprisingly doing both events, but I think they realize what the importance is for Italy and this medal, so they're doing double duty. Muir and Kahara, same thing. There's another team that they could have put out there, but I think they really need a first place here to have a chance still at that gold medal, and then Cameron O'Shea for the United States. Now, again, this might make or break it. This really might make or break it immediately for Japan, because I think that if Japan has any chance at all, and they might not, I mean, I haven't done the math because we just saw what these rosters are, but I believe if there's any chance at all for Japan, we need to put Miura and Kihara in first place in the free skate. And based on how the short program went and how fiery they looked and how ready to go they were, that would not be a surprise placement for me. The toss-up for me would be Conti and Mazzi versus Metelkina Burilava, because Conti and Mazzi at the Grand Prix final looked so good. Like, I thought they might have, when they skated, I thought maybe they're going to win this thing. And then it was just a few other good skates all in a row. So they
Yeah.
did not, but they looked like they were on fire. And then Metelkina Burilava are usually pretty consistent, but they've been having mistakes of their own creeping in. At Skate America, they were a mess in the free skate. So for me, I think I'm going to stay with the Italians being second. I'll put the Georgians third.
Really?
Yeah, and the fourth for me is going to be, this is another tough one. This is a really tough one, and this one's really going to matter. It's really
Yeah,
going to matter.
I mean, I think so. I put like Georgia second, Italy third, just because
Okay.
like Georgia's a bit more consistent. We don't really know the state now if the Italians can make it through a free dance, sorry, a long program. But I put US in fourth just
Okay.
because they better PCS. They have more of a cushion for the lifts. They're going to get higher
Yeah.
GOE in the lifts, even if they
I
don't make the
agree.
throws. And so that's why I put US in fourth.
I agree with that. I mean, you're switching second and third, but I agree with US being fourth and Canada being fifth. Women's free skate, Madeline Skeezus, our favorite new attitude queen in the Kiss and Cry. Ivanova, Gutman, Sakamoto doing both programs, and we find out that Amber Glenn is indeed doing the free skate, so our initial thought was reversed as far as Liu and Glenn. For me, I'm just gonna go, I'm gonna go Cory Sakamoto. She looked good in the short program. I'm putting her first. Definitely Amber Glenn second. Third, I'm still going based on how the short programs went. I know that Gubanova usually hits pretty well in the free skate, but I think Larnaki Gutman under pressure looked pretty good in the short program.
Yeah.
So I'm going to put her third. I'll put Gubanova fourth, and Skeezus, of course, in fifth. What do you think?
I think I agree with all that.
Okay.
Yep.
So
Just
that.
Kaori looked really good Really good. And you know, my brain was still kind of thinking like, hey, last year she had a lot of shakiness. That's why I felt like she was vulnerable in the short. But the way she came out and performed that short program, I'm like, no, maybe she goes out and skates clean again. So I'm putting her first place there. I put US second too, Gutmann third. Gubanova fourth, and then Skizis fifth. I think that's exactly how it'll play out.
Okay, for the men's free skate, Gogolev, Egadze, Matteo Rizzo is stepping in for Italy, Shun Sato is stepping in for Japan, and Ilya Malinin, as we said, he is doing both programs. So, you know, this is my feeling. Ilya does not have to do that much. I don't know how ambitious he wants to be, but he really does not need to do that much to win this segment, even if he's not skating last. I think he could get away with two quads, maybe three. You know, Shun Sato has a lot. He's usually pretty reliable on it, but I don't think the PCS will be there. He's usually held down to the low eights in PCS, so then you have probably a 10-point lead for Ilya just on that. So for that reason, regardless of how Ilya skates, unless it's a total implosion where every single jump gets called, I think he is safe for first place. I would say Shun has been so consistent, he's good for second. This is interesting now for third, fourth, and fifth. It's so tough, honestly. I'll say Egadze, I will put third. I don't know. I'll put Rizzo fourth because I think in a fair world, Rizzo should have quite higher components than Gogolev. I don't know that that's going to happen, but Gogolev would really need to land all his quads to have a chance. I'm not discounting him. I saw what he just did in the short program, but I think that the PCS meaning more and having more of a value and a factored thing here, I think that that will keep him in fifth, even if he skates well. But you know, third through
I
fifth
agree with
really
you on
could
all
go
that.
anyway.
And generally, like, if you just jump the jump when they're landed, Rizzo's jumps are better quality, in my opinion. And all the other elements too, much better quality in terms of the spins and step sequence, the choreographic sequence, and PCS should be higher. Probably only to be a few points higher, even if it should be at least five, if not more. So I also gave Rizzo fourth over Gogolev. And I think I had this in the same exact order. US, Japan, Georgia, Italy, Canada.
So, I know you changed your pairs free. You have a few spots that are switched out, but as far as Japan and the United States go, you have them in the same place as I do. So, we've agreed through all disciplines where Japan and the U.S. are going to land. This, with these results, means that the U. Oh, sorry. No,
You gotta go
I
summary
forget that.
tab.
We got to go. Well, we can go also down here. But yeah, if we go to summary, we now have the USA at 70 and Japan at 68. Now, this is the so important part of this. If we go back to this, and for some reason, Ilya were to finish second to Shun Sato in the free skate, stranger things have happened, you know? We now have a tie score, okay? And because of the way we're assuming Corey's gonna win both of her segments and Mirren Kuhar will win both of her segments, that's two 10-point events for Japan, which would give them the win here. That would break the tie. That would be we had this happening otherwise without Ilya even competing. So the chance is still there, but it's really going to come down to, does Ilya play it safe and land like a quad or two or whatever and just run away with this, or does he really go all out and then maybe lend itself to mistakes? I don't think he's the type of person that's, even if the USFS says go out and complete all triples, I don't think he's going to listen to them, you know. He wants the gold medal, obviously. He's skating in four events now in the Olympics within basically a week. But I think that he's going to go out there and give it all he has to an extent. Maybe not like quad axel, but I think he's going to go for everything to try to raise up that TES anyways. So I don't doubt that he's going to win the segment, and that means that the USA would win. The only other place, you know, where it could get interesting, because if you don't swap out those results, looking back at this, it's a 2-point benefit that the US has right now. So the US would have to finish last in pairs, and also Amber would have to finish like behind Larenaki or behind Anastasia in women to even have a chance.
And then even then, there's another thing that could just totally knock Japan out, in my opinion, and that's if Mirren Kihara lose
Don't
to the
win.
Georgians. If they play second in the pairs free, it's pretty much a done deal. It's too big of a deficit for Japan to make
Agreed.
up without some major mistakes from Amber Glenn.
Agreed.
So dropping down
100%.
to like fourth place, which I don't really see as probable at all. Because
And
it's
then
not just like losing points, but it's like between the US and Japan. And the men's one is where one's gaining, one's losing. That makes up the 2 points, puts them, you know what I mean? So
yeah. So
it'll be, we'll know really soon whether or not the men's free will matter.
yeah, I mean, I don't. It might, but then again, I think Ilya is gonna know exactly. Even if he's not skating last, again, I'm reiterating, he's not skating last. He's not gonna know the exact game plan. But I think that PCS that he typically gets versus what Shun usually gets, I think it's just not. It's not really gonna be a battle.
Yeah, but you know, he looked vulnerable today, even because he looked nervy. And if he doesn't fix that between now and like tomorrow, who really knows how he skates out there, you know? And Shun's gonna be consistent if he's like he's been all season. He'll get his like what 190 or whatever that's going out there, and that's gonna be Ilya's goal. He's gonna need that TES to be over 100 to just guarantee this.
You look at what I have. So I highlighted this column because we still see your old column, which isn't up to date. But Italy, I have here with this scenario winning the bronze medal by 6 points over Georgia, and then Canada finishing in fifth. Again, this is another scenario like. Italy and Georgia are probably going to finish second and third. Maybe one of them sneaks in for first in the free skate. Okay, that's 2 points there. Maybe maximum for Georgia that they can make up there. In the women's free, yeah, I say you could maybe switch out Italy and Georgia so there's a third point. So they could, I mean, they could, they really need everything to go exactly right, like literally exactly right for them to have a chance. Because if we do switch out, let's just say Georgia wins here. Japan gets second in the free skate, and then Italy gets third in the free skate in pairs, and then we'll just switch out Georgia and Italy in the women's competition. I'm pretty sure that ties them as well now. No, it still makes Italy win by 1 point. So for me, it's like you would also have to. I don't see where. I don't see the.
Right, in the men's
There's.
too, right? Italy beats. Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Georgia's already beating
Like,
Italy there, so it's like,
but Gogolev
where are they
skated
going to
really
get there?
well. Let's say he skates totally clean, and we have another like performance. Because remember, this isn't even Daniel Grassel, right? And Rizzo skated really great at Euros, really clean, but we still don't really know how the full recovery and the injury. He could have a really disastrous skate here and place last.
So if in the event that that happens, if everything goes where Georgia is able to win the Paris free skate, Italy's no better than third. In the women's free skate, we're just assuming Japan and US go 1-2. So then you have Georgia beating Italy by one spot there, and then you have Georgia beating Italy in the men's free skate by two spots as well. Then you would have a tie. And then in the event of this tie, we have to go down here to look because even, I mean, this is literally all, every situation is falling perfectly into place. So we look at the 58 and 58 lines, and we have, you would have 19 as the highest one here and 14, so that's 33. And you have 15
Yeah,
and
the
16. So
tiebreak goes
it,
to.
the tiebreak would go to Georgia. Because of the pairs, because we would have Metelkina and Burilava finishing first and second in their event. So that I'm pretty sure this is how the tiebreak works. They would be that is the only way. That is the
So
only
many
way
things
to,
need to align,
yeah,
right, for that
just
to
fall
happen.
exactly into place.
Exactly.
But even if one of those things doesn't happen, like just say the Japanese end up winning the pairs free skate and Georgia is able to finish second. I mean, even that's not enough. So it really needs to be, it's so reliant on other people and people slotting it in between, like in the men's free of Canada, Gogolev would have to like not only skate well, but slot exactly in between Agadze and Rizzo. I mean, there's just too much. So I would say Italy is in there for the bronze medal. They really
Yeah.
would have
And you
to.
know, I think so too. Heavy favorites. It's like definitely like what 9 to 1 maybe chance that Italy gets that bronze, holds on to everything, because it needs a lot of like bad skates to happen. Right? So, and even then though, like there's a world too where in pairs, if Conti and Macchi aren't really on it and Cam and O'Shea are, Cam and O'Shea could beat them too, which could just further find that point differential. But that's again like our not the odds, right? Not what likely is to happen.
I don't I think
So
that it's
so I think the bronze is more or less locked up, and it really is this competition between the US and Japan for the gold. Ilya
I don't think it
being
is.
now in the free program, it makes the US heavy favorites. And it kind of, well, again, we're going to find out.
I
Japan
don't
needs to do
think.
its thing, win the pairs and women's to have a chance in the men, and then they need to rely on Sato skating clean and Ilya just underperforming.
Yeah, I just don't see a world where this ends up happening, to be honest with you. I just,
What for Ilya placing behind Sato?
yeah, I don't see it. I
Yeah,
don't.
but again, it requires a nervy skate. The normal Ilya we've seen all season wins easily.
Yeah. So I think it's going to be USA, Japan, Italy as the final three, and Georgia fourth
Think
and
that's the heavy odds.
Canada fifth. Yeah, I think that's how it's going to play
What
out.
are the betting markets saying? We should place some bets, right?
I don't know. Yeah. Oh, I think I read somewhere that there was an odds for Japan to win, and it was like 8-1 at one point or
Oh, that
something.
someone should have,
Yeah.
yeah.
But the like then people went in and they started betting, so it like went down tremendously. But I still think now, Ilya being in that free skate, they're just narrowly coming away with the win as it is. But I think that that was what they had to
We're
do.
also seeing here to where they had to put an Ilya. There was
Yeah,
no choice.
yes.
If you don't put an Ilya, you're more or less ceding the gold medal to Japan.
Yeah, and we said, that's what we thought. We hoped that the people in the USFS were
You know,
tracking
it's so funny
this.
how everyone was telling us like they would never do that. You know, they're not going to sacrifice Ilya and Chalk and Bates' medal chances in the
Yeah.
individual events. And I'm like, I'm sorry, no, the team event matters. Putting them
Yeah.
in makes the U.S. heavy favorites. Substituting Chalk and Bates and Ilya Malinin out makes it to where the U.S. pretty much it's a big hill and relies on mistakes by the Japanese to win gold. And you never want to be in that position.
Yeah. So that wraps up day two of the team event. Again, tomorrow we will be on a plane when
Oh,
this
I
whole
know.
thing wraps up. So,
I fly out at 6 a.m. tomorrow
yeah,
to meet you in Miami, so
you have a much longer day than I do.
yeah.
But we will maybe. I mean, I don't know how busy Milan's going to be. I don't want to put any promises out because I do want to explore the Olympic Village and I want to explore all the team houses and all this stuff and go shopping and all of that. So I don't know that we're going to maybe even have a video right away or even ever that wraps up this team event because we're going to hit the ground
We'll try.
very,
We will do our very best.
So we're both going with it'll be USA, Japan, and Italy for the medals. This will be Italy's first medal. This is Japan's second medal after they were able to get the silver as well 4 years ago. Very competitive this year, though. The Gogolev thing kind of threw everything for a loop.
Yeah.
France not making it.
I really like the drama of it all anyway. So, still enjoy that the team event is had some unpredictability to it.
Very exciting. That wraps up now our team event coverage as far as, I know us and we're not gonna have time to go back and analyze this. And by the time we do, it'll be after the fact and we'll already be into the rhythm dance. So it'll be like, who cares about that? That's history. So the next time you will see us will be from Milan. We are there for 8 days. Again, we have tickets right now to the free dance. I reload that Olympic website every day, and I just see that tickets aren't really selling for the men's short program. I think they keep adding more actually in the C block, but then you look at the resale tickets, and it just keeps piling up. And I think at a certain point they need to just start selling tickets for a little bit cheaper. They didn't do it for the team event. I saw how many. I put a picture on Instagram of how many empty seats there were. It just seems very stingy to me that you wouldn't try to get like a last ditch effort to fill up the rink or at least move people down or whatever. I don't know. But fingers crossed that we have people that at the last minute get nervous and just want to give off their tickets, not for free, but like heavily discounted because that would be nice. But we will
Right,
try to
something's better than
report.
nothing.
Exactly. We will try to report as much as we can from Milan. 8 days of coverage at least while we're there, trying to experience everything around the Olympic Village and the excitement that comes with all of that. So I don't have anything else. I have to pack still. I haven't even started yet.
I started, just nowhere close. I don't have a lot of time to then get some sleep, so I'm gonna hop on that leg right
So
now.
get on that. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
All right. So as always, thank you. Comments, questions. Tell us that we were wrong about Canada. We already know. We said it. Anything you expect that maybe we aren't predicting for tomorrow that might switch everything up. As always, try to reply to everyone and everything. But for now, my name is Tony Wheeler.
And I'm Thomas Vu.
And thank you for watching the skating session.
All right, bye everyone.